read just a couple of verses of Scripture here and pray for those that are not here. The Lord knows each need. And amen. If y'all two stand as we read the Scripture, I'll read two verses of Scripture this morning and preach a message, feel like the Lord's laid upon our heart. And the Bible says here in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Amen. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, for a privilege of prayer. Thank you for this time you've given us. Lord, I pray, God, you just touch your word. We thank you, Lord, for all that's already been done. Lord, thank you for the Bible school time. Thank you, Lord, for the singing this morning. And God, how you've touched our heart. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless, Lord, in every aspect of our church and all the ministries and all the things that are going on. And God, we're just so privileged to be a part of a Bible-believing church, Lord, that has got some things busy for you, Lord. And I pray, God, you just continue to bless all the ministers of our church and all the missionaries. God, that you just supply the needs and take care of each need, Lord. When things are slack, Lord, it's a blessing, God, that you're able to work things out and you're able to take care of needs. And God, I pray, Lord, you just touch us in the days to come, Lord, that we would just continue, Lord, to want to be revived and want to be stirred and want to do more for you, Lord. I pray that you'd help us. God, bless in the message, Lord, this morning, God, that your name would be lifted up. You'd get all the glory and the praise. We'd get self out of the way and the Savior would be lifted up. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, it'd be good, I guess, to read on a little bit. The Lord begins to tell them about a parable, and the Lord begins to share with them some things and talks to them about a lost sheep and a lost coin. And later on, we read that he talks about a son that was a wayward son that got lost, if you will, and so to speak, and come back to the Lord. And what a privilege to think about. The Lord is each time here talking about just one. I'm not going to preach on that, but man, I just thought that was a good thought, you know. We mentioned, as far as we know, in the camp meeting a couple weeks up there at Kayser, there's one got saved. And another brother was coming from another meeting. He said where there was, he mentioned there was two that had got saved in that meeting. And, you know, one soul's worth it all. Amen. I mean, one soul's worth it all. I've heard it been said, maybe, you know, that the Lord, if it just won, the Lord would have went. And maybe that seems strange, but yet the Bible tells us in Noah's day, you think about all the people that was on the face of the earth in Noah's day, and there was just eight in the ark. I mean, there was just eight. That's a small number, ain't it? Amen. That's a small number. And, of course, the Bible tells us about the last days and there'd be a great falling away. And I know that's primarily a doctrinal falling away, but yet there's also a falling away of people, if you will. And there's a falling away of an amount of people that not like what you used to see years ago. We preached up there in that camp meeting. It was in an old Methodist church building. It had been there for over 100 years. And can you imagine? I believe Brother Wayne, when he went one night, he said, if these walls could talk, you know, can you imagine what happened down through the years and good meetings and everything. You used to hear about them old country churches, praise God, and they'd have to open up the windows and there'd be so many people packed into the building that open up the windows and they'd be on the outside listening. And you just don't hear much about that anymore, do you? But I'll tell you, every last soul, the Lord's concerned with that one little sheep that's went astray. The Lord's concerned with that one individual that needs to come to Him. And that's the kind of thought that the Apostle Paul begins to give here. That's the thought that the Lord begins to give here in this passage. And He directs that thought about just one that needs to be reached. And that's a blessing. But He starts off by saying, you know, see, some people are just too big to mess with one. Some people are just, they're just too good to mess with just one. You know, they want a whole crowd. You know, they want everybody to pat them on the back. They want to, you know, get in the Sword of the Lord or some other publication. And, you know, they've had hundreds and they've had thousands. Or, you know, their church is growing and there's a whole bunch here and a whole bunch there. And there's some that needs to be faithful over a few. In fact, the Bible tells us one of these days the Lord's going to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." One. Think about it. But that's not the message, all right? It's just introduction. Back up here in verse 1. Listen to it. Listen to what the Lord said. The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all." Then drew near unto him all. It reads on to say, "The publicans and the sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmuring, and said, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them." I'd like for us to look at it. Think about this. I want to talk to you about this morning. He is approachable. He is approachable. It says, "Then drew near unto him all." Then drew near unto him all. There was none that the Lord refused. There was none that the Lord turned away. If they were turned away because of the preaching, if they were turned away because of his teaching, that was on their hands. But there was none that the Lord refused. Then drew near unto him all. Hey, the blessing that the Lord was approachable. Like I said, many are, you know, concerned about this crowd or that crowd or men's approval and men's praise and everybody else looking good upon them and patting them on the back and you know, all of those things. And it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's good to encourage folks and to lift one another up. We need to be doing that. We need to be telling folks how much we love them and we appreciate them. But what I'm saying is, if that's all you're looking for is a pat on the back, and my goodness, and I've seen some folks like this before. I've seen some folks that I thought unto God after they begin to talk, I thought, "Lord, they done lost their reward. They done lost their blessing." They begin to tell, you know, what they've done and what all they've accomplished and all of that. And I mean, you know, they was wearing their arm out, Brother Tom, reaching back there to pat themselves on the back. But you know, the Bible says you receive reward here, and you'll not get it up there in heaven. They're just saying, "Let go ahead." Now, I'd like to have me. No, I'd rather have God's approval, wouldn't you? I'd rather have God's approval, if you will. And we no doubt what a blessing that is. But you think about it. The Lord wasn't concerned about what everybody else thought. The Lord wasn't concerned about what everybody else. But he was just doing the will of the Father. And the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all." Now, I'm sure all of them didn't get saved. I'm sure all the publicans didn't get right with God. All the tax collectors, amen, they won't get right with God today, many of them, amen. And the government won't get right and quit taking too much money, amen. Let me just throw this in. In Bible school, we got talking about that. Maybe I went off in the wrong direction, but, you know, the Bible talked, and the lesson was about giving. You know, and the Bible set up a system of giving that we give, first of all, 10% to the Lord. And, you know, and that's just getting started. Just give you 10%. Then you give the offerings. And missions offerings are a big thing. But nevertheless, you think about it. Lord said, "I gave you that 90 for you to live on." And Lord God, ain't it pitiful that the government's thinking about taking over 50% now?
That's right.
Some of the richest people, they're going to take over. Can you imagine working and somebody takes away 51% of what you've earned? There's just something wrong with that. If God's principles and His Word can work, it can work anywhere. Amen. It could work in this government to have a flat tax of 10%. It could work in this government. Amen. All right. Anyhow, I'm done. All right. I'm meddling. I'll get back to catching the right rabbit here. But what I'm saying is, think about it. The Lord says, then the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all," whether it was publicans, whether it was people, their heart wasn't right with God, they were stealing, they were cheating people, there were sinners that were around him, there was those that were Pharisees and scribes, and those ones that wasn't getting the message, they were there and wasn't getting the message, and they was murmuring and complaining and talking about Christ and downing him and ridiculing him, and they really needed to get their heart right. They needed God to touch their heart. But it's a blessing that they were there. It was a blessing that the sinners were there. It was a blessing that the publicans were there. You say, "Why in the world is that?" They couldn't understand that. The Pharisees, the religious crowd, they couldn't understand that. He said, "Look at those folks that are there. My goodness, don't he realize what that person's done? Don't he realize what that one's done? Don't he realize he's an extortioner? Don't he realize he's been cheating people all his life? Don't he realize these are sinners? These are, hey. But he said in another passage, he said he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason he came, that all might come to him. What a blessing. He's approachable. You think about it. He's approachable. We can come to the Lord. Let me give you a couple thoughts about why he's approachable. I mean, all folks can draw near to him. All folks can come and receive power and strength and salvation and knowledge and healing from the Lord. And whatever they have need of, they can come to the Lord. And if it's in his will, he can touch and give them what's needed in their life. In fact, I mean, he's the Son of God. And the reason he can do that, you see, in fact, if you study the scripture, there's a presentation of the Lord in Matthew, and there's a presentation of the Lord in Luke, and Luke kind of deals with him being the Son of Man in the book of Luke. In fact, it's mentioned many times, like I said, the Son of Man come to seek and to save that which was lost. But he was very God and very man at the same time. He didn't take away his deity. He concealed his glory. He didn't reveal all of his glory because man couldn't have stood it. He didn't reveal all of his power and his ability because he had a mission, if you will. He was doing the will of the Father, and he was going to go to the cross. And I mean, can you imagine when the troops came to get him and Judas had betrayed him with that kiss and had already been paid off the 30 pieces of silver, and the troops came to get him, and when he said two words, when they asked where he is and who he is, and he said, "I am he," basically just said, "I am," they fell over. That whole crowd just fell over. Many times we see the power of God exhibited, but what I'm trying to tell you is, hey, he's 100% God and 100% man. That's the reason that he's approachable. That's the reason that folks can come to him. He has humbled himself. Romans chapter 1 verse 3 says concerning, and this is a good scripture to show you clearly about him being the God-man, if you will. Verse 3 says concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That shows you he was 100% man. Then verse 4 tells you he's 100% God. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Like I've said before, he showed himself that he was 100% man because the Bible tells us of several times that he was hungry. He was hungry. That's the flesh. Amen. The old flesh gets hungry. We won't talk about food this morning. I was listening. If you heard the radio program, it was a message I preached just not long ago, and we got talking about that appetite and everything. But you know, the Bible tells us that he fasted and he prayed, and then he was hungry. But you know, also the Bible tells us there was a crowd that gathered, and he wouldn't turn them away, Brother Tom. He wouldn't let them leave until he fed them. He fed 5,000. Another time he fed another great multitude. He took just a small little boy's lunch and he passed it out. Well, that shows you he was 100% God. Yeah. Amen. Hey, one time the Bible tells us that he fell asleep in the boat while the seas were raging, while everything, they was astonished that the Lord had fell asleep and all this going on. Well, he could fall asleep because he was 100% man. But then when they woke him up and he come up to the bow of the ship and he said, "Peace be still," that shows you he's 100% God, because he made the waves and he made the sea and he made it all when he created it thousands of years ago. But then not only that, though, he went up to Calvary. And there's no way that God could have died if he wasn't 100% man. But on the third day, he arose from the grave, victorious over the death, hell, and the grave, because he said, "I love the sheep and I give my life for the sheep. I lay down my life and no man taketh my life." And on the third day he come up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Shows you he's 100% God. Amen. Praise God. I ain't even got to the message yet, but amen. That ought to make a Presbyterian or a Methodist shout, and a dead Baptist too. First of all, let me say he's approachable because he's our mediator. He's approachable because he's our mediator. Mediator is, I looked these definitions up, mediator is a person that settles differences. a go-between. He's a mediator. He's an intercessor, if you will. He's a lawyer, if you will. He has pleaded our case before God. He is pleading. You know what? You know what he's saying? When those Pharisees come around, when those publicans come around, hey, the Lord was saying, they come and they're approachable. I can plead their case to the Father. I can plead their case that I'm going to bleed and die for them, that I'm going to come up out of the grave on the third day, that they can trust me and believe me. And if they'll do that, I can wipe the slate clean and it'll be just like they're starting anew, because now they're born again. Now all things are made new in Jesus Christ. Brother Kenny said this morning, using that passage in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Hey, praise God. That's God wiping the slate clean. That's God changing everything, if you will. And he can do that because he comes and he says, I'm the go-between. Boy, you've sinned. And the devil says, oh boy, you've messed up real bad. The devil says, oh, you've done all of this wrong, and you've transgressed against me, and you've lied, and you've cheated, and you've done all this wrong. And I'm sure that many of the publicans and many of the sinners that was there that day, that could have been rehearsed through their mind. The devil could have been bringing that stuff to their mind. But the Lord is that lawyer. The Lord is that go-between. The Lord is that mediator. And he said, I can plead the case to the Father. If you'll just believe me, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just come to me and let me clean you up, let me fix everything. Boy, it'll be all right then, praise God. Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Praise God. He can just stand in the gap and intercede for us. He can plead for us. He can take our case to the Father, and the devil can say whatever he wants to. The world can say whatever they want to, and it can be brought back in ourself. We can bring things up ourselves, and the devil can torment us with that. But praise be unto God, Jesus Christ is there before the Father pleading our case. He's our go-between. He's standing there, the only mediator between God and man. It's not a priest. It's not somebody here on this earth. It's the God-man that says, I'm going to take the case to the Father, and I'm going to plead the case to the Father. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Ain't it good? Amen. Listen, I tell you what, if we had to plead the case, we wouldn't have much to say. I mean, if we had to plead the case, we might say, hey, I remember I was a pretty good boy, or I was a pretty good girl growing up, or we might say I went to Sunday school, or I got baptized, or I got my name on the church roll. That's the only thing we could say. But if we come to the point that we have asked the Lord to trust, we have trusted the Lord, and we have accepted the Lord as our personal Savior, we can say, hey, I've been to Calvary. Amen. I've been to Calvary, praise God. You know what? Everybody that gets saved, everybody's up there in heaven, everybody's going to heaven. One of these days we'll have to say one thing, we came by the way of the cross. And we didn't get there. Amen. I think there's a song about that, come by the way of the cross. And boy, that's a blessing. And I believe one part of it is telling about the old thief on the cross. Lord God, nothing he could say about what he had done before his hands and his feet was nailed to the cross, and his deathbed was crucifixion. His deathbed was, he was hanging there on the cross. There wasn't nothing he could do. He couldn't get off that cross and get baptized. He couldn't pay his tithes. He couldn't live a good life. He couldn't do anything. He was there on his deathbed, and God got a hold of him and reached him there on his deathbed. Now, I don't recommend you wait that late. Amen. Like I said, that Bible view back there, get somebody and pick them up, pass them out. Listen, folks are waiting too late. They're going to miss God. Today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Hey, while God's dealing with your heart, you ought to come right now when God deals with your heart. Don't put it off. You might not get another chance like this. You might not get another opportunity. But boy, he did. Ain't that a blessing? And when he got there to heaven, my goodness, ain't a thing he could say. He couldn't say, Miss Davis, he's grown up in church. He couldn't say he did this and that and the other. He couldn't say anything about himself. Only thing he had to say is, I came by way of the cross.
I came by way of the cross. The last person I talked to is Jesus. And he said everything's going to be all right. Last person I talked to was the mediator on the other side. And now I'm here in paradise. And he said, by the way, fellas, he said he's coming down here with us for a while. Ain't that a blessing? Hallelujah. Amen. You can say the same thing this morning. If you're saved, you can say you came by the way of the cross. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, you say, preacher, what in the world's wrong with you? I got in a little camp meeting this past couple of weeks. Praise God. You say, I hope you just stay away from them places. Well, it's good to get your battery charged. Amen. It's good to get your battery charged. Hebrews 7, 25, the Bible says, wherefore he is able. Boy, he's the only one that's able. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that'll come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Boy, just up there beside the Father, just waiting for one more soul, waiting for that one more lost sheep, waiting for that one more wayward son to come back to the Lord, to come back to where they need to be. He's just waiting for that one more to come, that wayward daughter, that wayward son, waiting for that one more person to come. And the Lord's going to plead that case. The Lord's going to be there making intercession. The Lord's going to be there taking care of all that's in the past, because He can, because of the cross, because He shed His blood, and His blood made an atonement for all the sins of the world. Hey, what a blessing. John the Baptist seen Him and said, right there He is, the Lamb of God that taketh away, what, the sin of the world. In fact, let me give you that. That's my next point. He's approachable because He's a mediator. Second of all, He's approachable because He's a Lamb of God. He's approachable because He's a Lamb of God. John the Baptist had been waiting for Him. John the Baptist had been looking forward to that time. God designated him to be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Here he is preaching out of the wilderness. He was the roughest Baptist preacher you ever heard of in your life. He come out of the wilderness and he had locusts hanging out one side of his mouth, honey hanging out the other side. He was as rough as a cob, and he's preaching hard as he could be. He's preaching, calling everybody a bunch of snakes, calling their grandma and their grandpa snakes, and dad and everybody else. Generation of vipers, what he said. Who hath warned you to flee the wrath of God? Hellfire and brimstone preacher. But he said, listen, there's one coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend down and unlatch his shoes. He said, I'm not even worthy. And later on, praise God, later on, when they come to him and they said, hey, with Jesus, all these things are happening. Man, I mean, folks are receiving sight. The blind are receiving their sight. God's a healing. All these things are going on. We don't understand it, John. And what they was trying to tell him was, John, you ain't as popular as Jesus is. What they trying to tell him is, listen, this Jesus fella is still in your show. And he said, wait a minute, folks. I must decrease. He must increase. He said that day on the shores of Galilee, probably, he said, listen, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He's approachable because he's the Lamb of God. He's approachable. A lamb is just a young sheep. In fact, I looked these up in dictionary. And this one was a 1967 edition of Webster's Dictionary. And here's what it said in the dictionary: a young lamb, and then it had a young sheep, excuse me. Then it had a comma, and it said the lamb, capital L-A-M-B. I was shouting over that dictionary, praise God. Then it had a dash, and it said Jesus. I'll tell you what, I don't know Webster is right with God, buddy. Y'all know Webster was, and this, I'm glad they didn't change it up to this point. And you look at the old 1828 dictionary, of course I know you find this stuff. And you find Scripture all the way through it. Almost every definition or so has got Scripture to back it up. Amen. Show you where it's at in the Word of God. Because folks used to go to the schoolhouse, and this was the main textbook that they had in American schoolhouses when they first started. Amen. This was the main, it's something they've kicked it out, and this used to be the main textbook. This used to be the book they looked to. And Webster put that dictionary together, 1828, and over again there's reference to the Word of God. But thank God there was still reference there about the Lamb, about Jesus. He's a crucified lamb, praise God. He's approachable because he's the crucified lamb. You say, how does that make him approachable? Well, he took your place. He took your place. He didn't die because of any transgression he did. Ain't it something that a heathen man, a heathen leader says? He began to get a, he said, go bring me a basin of water. He said, this is all I'm going to do. Said, bring me a basin of water. And he begins to wash his hands and wipe his hands. And he said that he didn't find no fault in this man.
That's right.
He said, I found no fault in him. And he washed his hands of the matter. He said, I'm going to turn it over to the people. And they cried, crucify him. Crucify him. He that did no gall, he that no gall was found in his mouth, the Bible says. He that when he was oppressed, he didn't strike back at him. And over again we see that he was without sin, the spotless Lamb of God, praise God. Well, why was he there? He just took your place. You don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through that humiliation. You may go through some persecution. You may go through some humiliation. But you won't have to go through what he went through. You won't have to go through what the Lord went through when he was there on Calvary. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thank God for the crucified lamb. The crucified lamb tells us that we can come and approach him and come to him. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, he's not only a crucified lamb, but he's a glorified lamb. Now, after he said it was finished, after he come up out of the grave, after he spent 40 days here on this earth, he ascended up into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, ever making intercession for us. Praise God, we can hit that point again. He's that mediator. He's approachable. But he's a glorified lamb. The Bible says in Revelation 5, 6, and I beheld. Now remember, John the Baptist beheld him at the beginning of his earthly ministry and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the crucified lamb. But now John is looking, John the Beloved is looking into the future. John the Beloved is looking ahead in chapter 5. He says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, capital L-A-M-B, a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He said, I seen the Lamb of God. Whole different picture than what John the Baptist seen. He didn't have that robe of flesh that he took upon him. He didn't have to walk in those sandals and get his feet dirty on the dust of this earth and everything. He's sitting on a throne now. He's sitting up there. In fact, the Bible tells us that in another passage there in Revelation that he's as a lamb that was slain from the foundations of the world. Somebody said, now he's up there building us a mansion. He's up there preparing everything for us. But somebody said the only thing up there built by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. A Roman soldier one day hammered those nails into his hand, and you don't have to worry about getting all bent out of shape about this point and that point and everything else. They say it probably would have been right there in the wrist is what they normally did. And actually in the Greek, there many times that was considered part of the hand from the wrist down. But nevertheless, wherever it was, there's scars in the hands of the Lord, because it says he's as a lamb that's been slain from the foundation of the world. But he'll never go through that again. He never has to go back and do that again. He said it's finished. It never has to be done again. He's up there in heaven, and one of these days, this is after the rapture of the church. This is after we begin to see the beauties of heaven. John the Beloved said, hey, I see the Lamb of God now, but it's different than when he left. I see the Lamb of God now, and there's no more pain. There's no more suffering. I never have to see. I don't know how many other disciples was around, but the Bible does record that John the Beloved was at the foot of the cross while his Savior hung there and bled and died for mankind. Oh, what a different picture that the Lord's a giving him over in Revelation. What a different picture he's a seeing now as he sees the glorified Lamb. What a blessing. Not only that, but he's the married Lamb. Now, this is just a point, but I got a couple points under this point. He's the married Lamb. And that's where we come in, praise God. Revelation chapter 19, verse 9, the Bible says, and he said unto me, Right blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's that Lamb mentioned, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. He said, blessed are you. Praise God, what a privilege that we have to be called a part of the bride of Christ. What a privilege we have to be called a part of the body of the church. And the Lord's going to give us a privilege one of these days of spiritually being wed to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Not only that, but let me say, and I've already touched on this a little bit. That's just kind of a hint. If I've already touched on it a little bit, I won't be too long there, okay? But not only is he a lamb, but he's a shepherd. Ain't that good? Amen. I mean, you know what? I tell you what. I can't finish all I should put in here, but by the time we get done, by the time you study and add a few things in here or there and everywhere, you'll just have to say he's all in all. Amen. He's all I need, praise God. But the Bible says a shepherd is, I mean, give me a definition about that. He's one who leads sheep. John chapter 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Blessed passage of scripture we read over and over again. I heard Brother Todd use this in the RU meeting this past Friday night, and continue to pray for that ministry and pray for that individual, this new fella that was here on Friday night. He'd get some help from the Lord. But you know he's going to get some help, and all of us is going to get some help when we realize that he's approachable as a shepherd. He says, I want to lead you. I want to guide you. I want to take you. And Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hey, old David said, there's nothing I have to want about. I don't have to make up a big wish list. God's taking care of all of it. God's helping me, you see. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes we use the Prophet's Chamber facilities over there, New Testament Baptist missions, and we thank the Lord for them, and we give them an offering for being able to use it from time to time. But some time ago, they put, when they finished those two up, you go back in behind the building and you go into them, and they're nice. I mean, they're nice. I've told preachers it's stayed there. It's the best prophet's chamber I've seen. We had one evangelist that come to be with us, and he said it's the best. He's been all over the country. I mean, he's preaching in front of thousands all over the place. Brother Jack Tripp is with us. He says the best prophet's chamber he ever stayed in. But you know, they got both of them named. There's two different ones, and they got them both named. This just goes along with the message. Just hang in. They got both of them named. Over one door, it says Still Waters. And over the other door, it says Green Pastures. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. I mean, say, just a place to rest for a while. Just a place to stay for a while. And praise God, the good shepherd says, I'll bring you beside the still waters. I'll bring you by the green pastures, praise God. You know what that's a picture of, that old sheep? When the waters are raging, when it's rough, and it's going real swift and everything, they won't even drink. The shepherd has to take them to somewhere where it's a little bit calmer, a little stiller. Gets them out of those rough places. Praise God. Gets them where they can really get a good drink. Amen. Where they can really get refreshed. And that's what the Lord does for us. Ain't that a blessing? He goes on to say there in Psalms 23:8, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what? He gives us everything we need. Gives us everything we have need of, praise God. And we still grumble and complain. We many times forget to be thankful for what God's done for us and how God's took care of us. It was a blessing. I thank God for that lesson this morning, to think about how that the churches of Macedonia, in their poverty, still didn't quit giving. In their poverty, in the stress and the tough times and the rough times. And everybody else in the world says you're foolish to keep on giving in those rough times. But they know there's some better times are coming. They know there's some better days are coming. And they know there's a God that said, I'll go with you and I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you and I'll be with you always until the end of the world. What a blessing that is. God's going to take care of us. Hey, he's approachable because he's a lamb. He's approachable because he's a mediator. He's approachable because he's a shepherd. Not only that, but last of all, let me say he's approachable because he's also a servant. He's also said many times of himself that he's a servant. A servant, I looked this definition up, it says it's a person devoted to another. A person devoted to another. I mean, maybe those Pharisees couldn't understand it, and those scribes couldn't understand it. But those publicans and sinners said, I just see something in that man that's different. I just hear something in that man's voice that's different. I believe he can help me. I believe I can get to him, it'll be all right. I believe if I come there, somehow or another, I don't understand it, I can't explain it, but you know what was going on? It was the Holy Ghost of God. It was God dealing with their heart and drawing them to himself. It was God dealing. That's the reason the Bible says, then drew near unto him all. Folks begin to come and multitudes begin to come and come before the Savior. Now they may not responded to what drew them. If they didn't, that means they rejected him. Folks still do it today. They hear the message and they hear the pleading of God and they know, they begin to realize the Lord can come and help them and he's the only help they need. But a lot of times, like I was talking about that lesson in the Bible view there, some of the thoughts is the devil goes out with that trick and says, that's all right, that's good, realize that, believe the Bible, believe Jesus, but just do it later. Just put it off till tomorrow. Put it off till the next day. Wait till the next time the Holy Ghost of God's knocking at your heart. It may be too late. I guarantee you one of these days it is going to be too late. One of these days the doors of the church is going to be shut. One of these days spiritually the door is going to be shut and they're going to be like they was in the days of Noah. They'll be banging on the side of that door. They'll be knocking on the side of that ark. They'll be trying to get in, but the door was already shut and sealed. All throughout that ark, there were places that the wood come together, and the Bible tells us that Noah took pitch and he pitched it within and without. He went on the outside of the ark and he put that pitch. He went on the inside of the ark and he put that pitch and he filled up every crack where it could make it, amen, all the way through the flood. And it did, because he did it exactly like God told him to do it. Amen. Amen. Never seen a vessel before. Never seen anything like that before. And today, they engineer vessels according to the demographics of the ark. They engineer them today according to how that was built. And it still works. Amen. Ain't that something? God's ahead of man. Amen. Yes, sir. But the Bible tells us that the Lord was the one that shut the door. And the Lord shut them in. And you know that word pitch is the same Greek word where we get the word atonement in the Old Testament. It was all the cracks was filled. Every gap was filled. Spiritually, every I was dotted. Every T was crossed. Everything was done. Everything that was needed was there, prepared for them. But then somewhere along the line, there was another little bucket of pitch left. And the Bible says after 7 days, God shut the door. And he must have been the one that filled up the cracks on the outside there. He must have been the one that filled up the pitch on the inside. And old brother Noah, he was on the outside and he was on the inside. And he pitched the inside of that door. And God pitched the outside. And praise God, they were sealed in that thing. And God took care of them. And God provided for them. Hey, one of these days, the door's going to be shut down here. The door's going to be shut spiritually down here. And there's going to be some on the outside and knocking, hoping they can get in, hoping there's some way. But you know what? They failed to realize that the Lord said he was devoted to a service of another. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't fathom it when the Lord one day took in a basin of water and he come down. I would use somebody's illustration, but Brother Tom, I'm not going to do that. I'll just go over here. But he took that little basin of water and he took something to wipe and he bent down. And the disciples, he began to wash their feet. He began to wash the dust off of their feet and the dust off of their sandals. And my goodness, they couldn't understand that. They couldn't fathom that. What's he doing? Why is he doing that? That's a slave that would do that. That's a servant that would do that. And bend down and wash our feet. Even some of the folks that was of a lower class sometimes had folks that would wash their feet when they come in the house. That was one of the lowest things he could do. But you know what? He took upon himself, the Bible says, a form of a servant. Let me read you this, and I'm about done. That means I'm closing. Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Like I said a while ago, he's the God-man, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him, here it is, the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Praise God. Oh, what love. Oh, what love for folks to come and realize, hey, you know, and that was a problem with some of the Pharisees. That was a problem with some of the scribes. That was a problem with some of the folks today. They just think they're just too good for this thing. They think, you know, everything's all right and they're doing fine on their own. But there's somebody that's already bent down and humbled himself. Nailed down, like I said, he said he gave himself, gave up his life. I don't believe they could have killed him. I don't believe it would have been even allowed for the spikes to go in his hands if it wasn't that the Savior said he laid down his life. The Roman soldier didn't take his life. The Jews didn't take his life. It was in the plan of God, foreordained in the plan of God before man ever fell in the garden. That's somebody that's come to do something for us that we cannot do ourselves when before man ever fell. Now, if you can't get a hold of that God loves you so much and no matter what you've done, no matter what's happened in your life, God still loves you and he still wants you to come to him and get things right and he'll start his work on the inside and work his way out. Amen. Think about this. Before God ever breathed into Adam's nostrils, he knew he was going to fall. He knew he was going to fail. And he already had a plan of redemption. He already had a plan. There wasn't no searching over heaven to find somebody that was willing to go or able to go. There was only one that could go. There was only one that said, I will take upon myself the form of a servant. I'll take their place. Boy, that's somebody you can get to. Man, I could expand on this thought a lot more, but I'm about done. You know, some people, you try to talk to them and try to get a meeting with them. There's folks today, if you try to get a meeting, you couldn't get it. Listen, I mean, you know, we might have some concerns, some things we'd like to say. I'd love to take a King James Bible and sit down before our president and tell him how Jesus loves him and how no matter what he's done, however he's lived and what he's been taught all his life, that if he's not saved, he can get saved by the grace of God. There's no fruits he has been. I mean, I'd love to, but you know, I couldn't get a meeting with a president. I couldn't. Probably never will, any president. He's not approachable. Amen? He's not approachable. Hey, but the Lord is. Amen. Somebody higher than him is. Amen. Somebody greater than him is approachable. Somebody greater than him says, hey, you can come to me. Amen. I'm the Lamb. It's already been slain for you. He said, you can come to me. I'm the good shepherd. I'll take care of you. I'll lead you and guide you. You can come to me. I'll plead your case. I'm the mediator. I'm the lawyer. I'm the go-between. Hey, you can come to me. I just want to serve you. I just want to help you. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Ask me, Miss Davis, she would come around with a song. The musicians come around and play something or sing something just to obey the Lord. God knows your heart. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior,